Goff, Megan Baker House Chief Executive Officer, a position which I've held for over 10 years now. And this year is our 20th anniversary.
And Lee, you are very welcome to the Sunshine Podcast. Ironically, on a day when it's absolutely chucking it down. I hope we gave you a decent car parking spot, by the way, which was quite close. You're giving me a look of no, not really. Lee, it's great to get you in, and it's going to be great to talk all things sort of Megan Baker. But can you tell me, first of all, what does the, for people that are listening thinking, oh, that's quite interesting, what does the organisation and charity itself do?
We're a charity for children and adults with a range of motor disabilities, neurological motor disabilities, and that encompasses children with cerebral palsy and other associated disabilities or abilities which manifest themselves in a similar way to cerebral palsy, many of which are genetic. Then we have children with dyspraxia, which is the hidden disability, and we have quite large groups of children now with dyspraxia. And then we go on to, there's some children as well with an acquired brain injury. Then we go on to adults, and that's Parkinson's, MS, stroke, and again, brain injury.
You know, it's really interesting because as we open up more about all things mental health, we also discover that there are a lot more issues. Previously, just Ava, oh, they're on the spectrum, or oh, it's just autism they've got. But you've just subcategorized and divided about 15 different symptoms there. So I guess one of the problems, or not problems, but one of the things that you face on a sort of weekly, yearly, monthly basis is the field of play as such changes so much, and you'll have to move and learn with that.
Absolutely. And that's the great thing about the charity. Because we're totally independent, we can react to, if we have groups of children that come to us with a disability that manifests itself in a similar way to another one, we can start a group. So therefore, we can react to different disabilities. And what we see the ability, not the disability. My staff are all professionals, and four of whom, including the lead conductor, are and the head of services, are fully qualified, something called conductors, which I'll explain in a minute.
Sure.
And they can see from the first initial assessment what the child can do. Very often we have a parent that will come to us and say that they've been told their child's got cerebral palsy or some other similar condition, and they won't be able to do very much more than just sit if they're lucky, or just to just to make them as comfortable as possible. And they'll have about 15 or 20 minutes physio once a month, which is nowhere near enough time to do anything. When the parents come to us, and when our staff tell them the sorts of things that we can see, I'm not one of the professionals, but I say we because it's all of us, can see that child can do, it's like a light bulb, and the parents are just so relieved. And so many cases, recently we had an article in the Ledbury Reporter of a mother talking to, at the centre, talking to the reporter about how her child had learnt to walk. She's now in high school in Ledbury. And, it's those sorts of things. And every time we have a child in, it's very rare we say we can't help.
It's very a remarkable turnaround for something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And we have about 100 adults and children accessing our services at the moment in a variety of ways.
And this is all over Herefordshire, Monmouthshire, Gloucestershire. You're taking a big catchment area?
Yeah. If you can get to us, we don't really have county boundaries. If you can get to us, you can come to us. And we moved from Leominster, which was a lovely, or just outside of Leominster, which was a lovely, lovely venue, a converted barn, and it was in a beautiful setting, but it was miles from anywhere. And of course, it was on another border. So we decided 4 years ago that we were going to relocate, and we looked for somewhere, and we found this small centre we've got in Ledbury. That needs extending now, but we shall hopefully know more about that in the not too distant future. And we were also able to then operate something called Reach Out, which is where we go to other villages where we know there are groups that can get to us. There's Bitterley, which is up on the border of Shropshire.
Yeah.
And then there's Bodnam, which keeps it sort of just outside of Leominster and is also easily accessible. We also have Cheltenham. And we've got the centre in Ledbury. We also operate in two schools now as well. And we're constantly talking to, there's Life After Stroke in Bromsgrove, we go there. And we're talking to various other groups, doing presentations all the time. If we've got the staff and the availability, we can manage these other small groups.
I love that,
that
very inclusive nature of what you just said a few moments ago. If you can get to us, we'll figure something out. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, we're coming up to almost the second anniversary of the lockdown now with COVID. That must have been just an absolute nightmare for an organisation like yourself, which you know, will rely on donations and people giving of their time freely, but also in terms of the fact that you couldn't have people come to you as such.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm fascinated to hear the angle of that, but I'm also fascinated when we're ever fortunate enough to talk to people like yourselves. It's almost as if after a sort of a week or so of, oh God, the bombshell's here, it's almost as if necessity becomes the mother of invention. So I'm interested in stories that you have in terms of, okay, we were left with this particular situation and it was either, okay, well, we either sink or swim, and you very much swam.
Absolutely. Yeah, and as you said, those first couple of weeks were sort of, gosh, what do we do? Everybody obviously had to go home.
Yeah.
Just as we knew it was happening or something was about to happen, because we did have a couple of days sort of notice of not knowing, I heard about something called Zoom. So I immediately registered with Zoom, and we got so at least we'd got that, and then my staff also took that on board, and so they were able to run, after quite a short space of time, run Zoom sessions, and that's another story in itself, because that has just grown and grown, and because of access and things, Zoom has been, you know, I know to a lot of people it's opened so many doors. But as well as having the live sessions, which we obviously have now, we've got a whole programme of Zoom sessions as well that we can run. And our staff are able to do those in the evenings and things.
It's funny how something which starts off as such a negative actually has, when you look deep enough, it does have sort of positive outcomes, isn't it?
It does, absolutely. And it has for us. You know, we have so many stories of young people, actually, I was going to say children, but they're not, those late teenagers who don't come to us and did at one stage, but now they can access the service. And they have, you know, they have a good relationship with the conductor, which is the leader, for want of a better word, and they're able to work on what they've got to work on and carry out various tasks.
We're sort of moving, fingers crossed, hopefully quite rapidly, into a time where lockdown restrictions obviously pretty much all over and done with now. What are your plans for the immediate future? I would imagine at some point you get to go, oh, right, okay, 5 minutes, and then regroup and go again, really, as we all move through.
Well, in actual fact, we closed for those first few, I can't remember the timeline now, but those first few couple of months, was it about May, I think, we were able to start things again in some way. And then because we were seen as something that was necessary, we started gradually having groups back. And in fact, we didn't ever close with any lockdowns. We kept going. I mean, clearly, a lot of families, you know, were very apprehensive about coming, understandably. And adults, you know, they were deeply affected by it. But again, that's where Zoom came into its own. But now we are back. But as I said, Zoom has actually opened another door for many of them, because there are still a lot of people, especially the adults with, say, MS and so on, who are shielding, and therefore having the access to a Zoom session, and being able to work on the sort of tasks that they were doing before, has been wonderful for them.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that just has to happen in an industry and an organisation like yours is fundraising. It has to come through. So talk me through the process of events that you think about and you come up with, and we'll talk about the lorry pretty soon, because everybody says you've got to ask about the lorry. We'll come to that fairly soon. But how do you sit there? Is it just something that, you know, you've done various events for a long period of time? Is it something that occasionally on a Monday morning you face the thing that we all do with a cuppa by the side of us and go, right, blank piece of paper, what are we going to do, team?
Yeah, it's well, I suppose essentially people do come to me with ideas, but there are also things that, you know, I've worked on before. And we've gone through. Sadly, we did have rugby booked for the 12th of March at Warriors, but I needed 150 people. Warriors said I had to have 150 people in the room, and I couldn't get 150 people. So last Friday, I had to cancel it, which was a shame, because we got quite a lot of parents that were coming to us and bringing their children in wheelchairs. And of course, they felt safe because they were with us and in an environment and things. So that was very sad. But anyway, I've had to cancel that. It's very rare I have to do anything like that. We've got a cycling event, which I'm not sure, you know, quite what form it's going to take, but that'll happen in April. And in May / June, I'm going to do a walk because it's our 20th anniversary. I want to do something based on 20. So it's sort of perhaps it might even go over 3 months. We're still working on this because obviously it's something in progress to depending on the weather and so on. But to challenge everyone to do, 20,000 steps a day or 20 miles a day or 20 miles a I think that's pushing it a bit for some people, but say 20 miles a week or something, but something based on 20 on a sponsorship basis. And that's a sort of ongoing thing that people can just do on their own with sponsorship forms from us. And then we have an Indian night, which a lovely lady called Suki, who's an Indian cook, is actually arranging for us. And that's at Ledbury Rugby Club, which is a fabulous venue, on the 11th of June. I've got 12 tables for that. I've already sold, I think, probably about six, but I've still got plenty of spaces. So if anybody wants to get in touch.
Well, you have my attention when you mentioned rugby and Indian food. So.
Well, it's a fabulous venue, and Suki is just organising all of it for us. It's just wonderful. That actually is what's really nice when someone comes to me with an idea and takes it on.
Well, absolutely.
Because organising it is you know, on your own is quite onerous.
To say this is your job is really rather cheeky, because it becomes very apparent whenever you get to meet someone who's either a trustee or someone that has a regular relationship with an organisation like yours. It's not just a job, it's actually a vocation, it's a way of life, isn't it?
It is. Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I don't have... I had yesterday off, but then I caught up on all my emails last night. But, you know, I mean, you don't, because you're always talking to people. You're always sort of thinking about what can be next, what you can do. And obviously lots of things like the Indian night need planning. We've got a ball as well, our 20th anniversary ball, which the theme will have something of 20. It might be 20s night, it might be something. But that's booked for at the Bank House, which is quite easy to get to, and a lovely venue. And that's for the 22nd of October. But that'll be our sort of final thing, you know, so that will be our celebrating 20
already
years.
Here we are in the sort of middle of Feb and you're 8-9 months away.
Oh, I know.
Already.
You have to put things in place because there are people to book and things like that. I'm just trying to think what else I've got. Oh, mud bath, of course. We have mud bath every year at Eastnor Castle. Which is so well, I mean, we have families that you know, not only the families, but there's so many other people as well. We have enormous numbers of people that do that in support of us, and that's brilliant because it's just that's something that we started with Mud Run when I did the first one that we got involved in, and then it became Mud Bath, but that's just something that annually just comes along and we know what we're doing and off we go.
If someone sat there thinking and listening to this as they will be now, okay, well, we've got time, we've got something that we think might be of aid to you. How would they go around getting contact with you?
Oh, emailing me. I love having people contact me and telling me about things that they'd like to do for themselves and things. You know, I encourage people to perhaps have coffee mornings themselves or afternoon tea parties or something. Anything at all, because everything that is raised comes into the charity. Everything goes on the service delivery. There is nothing else, you know. It is that's where it goes,
and that's really important to people now. Used to be a period of time, sort of 10-15 years ago, we just used to give, and then all of a sudden we sort of sat there and thought, okay, well, I need to know where this is going, and that's really fascinating that your open door policy on that effectively.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean our accounts are clear to see on the website, but on the charity commission. But it's it's very relevant because we keep everything as low as possible.
I'm intrigued now. Am I okay to pass on your email?
Please
give everybody a mention of it now.
It's lee@meganbakerhouse, that's all one word, .org.uk.
Okay. Tell me about the truck. Everybody,
tell me
about the lorry.
Right, our lorry. It's fabulous. Well, that was about 3 days before lockdown. So it was about March the 14th or something, I think it was. I've known Clive Brooks for a long time. And Clive said he said, I want to wrap. He had to do it wrap one of the big lorries. I want to, or the trailer rather, I want to wrap it and do it for Megan Baker House, which was fabulous. So I got a designer to put the stuff together, and it went off. And the day I saw it, it was launched actually at Ledbury Rugby Club because there's plenty of space there.
Yeah.
And the day I drove along the road, I was in tears because I thought, oh, we've got something like this. But it is, it's fabulous. And of course, because lockdown happened and things, we couldn't do very much with it apart from saying, you know, look out for it so I get messages in. But I didn't have an opportunity really to do a great deal in terms of any fundraising from it. But it's also been profile raising because it's got these big photos of, on the back there's a little girl that's walking with
her. Yeah, it's incredibly striking when you actually see it, isn't it?
It is. Well, when, I'll tell you a tale. One day, not long after it had launched, I was driving back from work and it was in front of me and I was saying, it's our lorry. And I was fiddling trying to get my phone, you know, something you shouldn't be doing, to get the phone, you know, to get the camera to take a photo. And then I realised there was a police car behind me.
Maybe we'll edit this bit. No, it's fine.
I tell everybody that.
It really does grab your attention.
It's very striking.
It's unique. It's very different.
It
really is.
It is. And Clive is very good. He always keeps it very, very clean. And I am going to sort of do some more photos with him at ABE to, you know, to sort of get it sort of going out again. Because I think he told me the other week when I messaged him to say that, you know, there's more publicity coming out about it. I think he said it's done 19,000 miles. It's sort of, and I've actually got the login for the route it does as well, so I can see what it's doing.
Okay.
So that, you know, if anybody wanted to sort of let us know that they'd seen it or something. But yes, it is. You know, to see, have you seen it?
Yeah, as I say, it's incredibly striking. It's so different, and you just sort of get used to the norm of, you know, talking about one particular organisation, and then you see that, and it's a real wow moment when
it
you
is.
See it.
I think it is. It's quite. It's no point in me showing. I was going to say, I'll show you my video that I took of it when it was when it was leaving me. But it is. It's. I mean, and I'm so grateful for that because it's just been something that was just, you know, a wonderful gift that we were given.
One thing that I've noticed, and we've been very fortunate to talk to people like yourselves that sort of head up these organisations and really, in one way or with another, whether it's front-facing or whether it's doing the sort of admin work, that they're all classed and really should be as carers. They're doing something that's very caring. But one thing that was really interesting over lockdown again was asking the question, well, who cares for the carers? Because that's something that suddenly we became very aware of in terms of the fact that it's okay just us giving money and time to these organisations, but actually, this is a real living, breathing thing, and it would be very easy for these people like yourself to sort of, well, you just mentioned, you know, you kind of had a day off yesterday, but you didn't. You were straight in the office on the laptop at home. You know, who cares for the carers?
Well, I suppose we all have our own way of doing it. The staff, you know, have their sort of, well, I was going to say their switch-off time, but they don't switch off, especially my head of services. There are different things. I mean, I did try to arrange just to, you know, this was something I do. It's only once a year it can happen when we're all together. And that's to have a sort of massage, you know, in the chair massage.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
But I tried to do that at Christmas, but we had to postpone it because of COVID and things. And I think it's now booked for April. But, I mean, that's a physical thing. But they all have their own different ways of, you know, sort of dealing with everything. And in similar ways, you know, the parents as well, of course, they need time off. And when they bring their child to Ledbury, of course, they leave them, or a centre, they leave them with us. I mean, Ledbury is great because, of course, it's got a lovely shopping centre.
Yeah.
And parents can leave them and go off. So that gives them that sort of hour or couple of hours to go and have a break.
I'll let you have a quick break and take a gulp of water. What's the one thing that you have learned most about your time doing this particular job?
Oh my goodness. I suppose it's people. I mean, the lovely people that they're. Can you take that out? Lovely. I don't like lovely people. But the lovely generous people as well that you meet, generous people that want to help or want to do things for us. The parents are just amazing. You know, when you think about what they have, when I watch some sessions, sadly, because there's not enough room in the centre, I don't have an office that I have to work from home. But I'm hoping that before too long I have an office back again somewhere. But when I could just pop down and see the groups working and then see the see the parents and the sorts of things that they have to.
It's interesting that actually, you know, we hear far too much sometimes about the sort of negativity of humanity, but actually on the whole, we're a pretty generous bunch.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've just do a couple of sound bites here. After a few sessions, he was crawling short distances, and with half a year, he was taking his first steps. That was from a parent who didn't think their child would be able to do very much. Since S started her weekly session, she's gone from strength to strength. From a parent's point of view, I would be lost without Megan Baker House.
Wow.
I mean, we don't have any statutory funding or any government support whatsoever, so we have to pedal fast to find every penny that we need for the £375,000 it costs every year.
And it's interesting there, the knock-on benefits are unbelievable. Just hearing from the parents that are given that little bit of respite and also given that little bit of hope. I mean, just hearing about the fact that people there were saying, well, we never, even in our wildest dreams, would associate what you've been able to do with our kids, frankly.
Absolutely. I mean, a very positive outcome of the pandemic is that the weekly CE sessions have been delivered to us via video calls, you know, which is Teams or with Zoom. And this is from an adult. Virtual sessions have helped me because I could not go out. They gave me some contact with the outside world, which is another thing, and which I considered to be a lifeline for me. Doing the virtual sessions is always great, and I could meet with other people on the Zoom session and see what they are achieving too. The sessions have given me an interest, which has helped me be less nervous and helped my confidence, which can be very low. That, again, is from an adult. But, I mean, I have a whole... Yeah. On our website, you'll see a whole...
All the testimonials
whole
and things.
I mean, that's just a couple
that's
I've got
lovely.
There.
What... who'd have sat here and thought 2.5 years ago that we'd be in the situation with lockdown and COVID that we've been in? Where would you hope to see the whole Megan Baker House organisation in a few years' time?
I keep saying that we've got to 20 years, which is amazing. I mean, it's quite miraculous is the wrong word to use, but I use it, but I don't think you could call it that. But it's actually been quite a challenge to get here. And we have, and we're, as I said, we're peddling fast because we have someone who writes the bids for us in a bid writing to all the major trusts all the time. Like, we've got lottery going in at the moment, so please, everyone, keep fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And we've children in need, all the big ones. And then we've got people like Eveson Trust as well, which is a local one, but also a very big one, who are very supportive. And so we have quite a range of things like people like that. I think that represents quite a high percentage of our income. And I would like to think that in a few years' time, we've got to more of a lesser dependent on that. And perhaps we can increase somehow, still working on that, increase our earned income or income that we can generate. But again, that relies on the generosity of people. And I know there's so many calls on people's money, trying to find something which is different.
But when you hear some of the testimonials from mum and dad and the people that get the benefit themselves, it's pretty amazing. I'm just looking at the timer here. We've yacked on for nearly 25 minutes. tell me something that you really want to sort of give a push and a plug to.
Well, I suppose event-wise, the Indian evening.
Yes.
We seem to be Herefordshire's best kept secret, and I have no idea why, because I've worked hard to try and make sure that we're not. I want to be Herefordshire's worst kept secret. I mean, that's basically it. We are Herefordshire. That's why we chose Ledbury to move to, because it's easy to get to, easy access from all over, as motorways and so on. But it's actually people finding out about us. I know that you only know about us if you're actually looking specifically for something. But actually finding out that we're not just, for cerebral palsy and so on. We've got a whole range.
Absolutely. On that, for people that might just, actually from both sides of it. First of all, for the people that sit there and think, this is really interesting. I have someone in my family circle or a loved one that I think really could benefit from this. Tell us where they should go and have a little peek on the website. It's the address.
www.meganbakerhouse.org.uk. On there's a short video as well, which we had done recently, which gives two parents talking, and those two parents say more about us than than I can sit and talk about. Also, the pictures on there are things which people will, in some cases, relate to and be able to see that they're the sorts of things that they might know somebody or just knowing more about us. And that we need to be here for another 20 years at least, because sadly what we provide is never not going to be needed.
So we've the Indian Night Gala. You talked about we can always watch. I almost want to hack into your emails now and find out where the lorry's going to be now to find.
Yeah.
But also we have the gala night, the ball that you've talked about, and people can find out all the events that they can either go along to, sponsor a table at, all via the website that talked about.
Sponsorship is very important. Actually, I'm just starting work on that. I mean, I have. Because I haven't done it for a few years, obviously, I'm just starting to look at that. But yes, I mean, you know, sponsoring part of the evening is just brilliant for us, and obviously we'll acknowledge it in every way we can. But that's another thing, you know, it's getting businesses to support us in other ways that they can. And generally, as I said, throughout the summer, there's going to be the sort of walking and things like that. And maybe tea parties and things. But it is essentially just me and when I can manage to badger friends to help. So I do have to make sure that I put everything into things that, rather than trying to spread it too thinly.
It's been lovely talking and having a chat with you. Again, feel free to, anybody listening to this now, to the podcast, go and have a look at the website again. Just give us the address one more time for us.
www.meganbakerhouse.org.uk.
Really appreciate your time, Lee. Thank you.